the way that it worked is that the user logged in to their home state network, which was Texas in this particular case. They accessed a protected federal database, okay, that was Department of Justice RISNet. And then they did that via Identity Federation, which was the National Identity Exchange Federation, or NIEF. The RISNet then relied on an attribute maintained and provided by a separate federal agency to authorize the user's access to protected gang database that was there. Now, this transaction was carried out automatically behind the scenes, and it was absolutely invisible to the user himself. The ones that participated, obviously, like I said, the Texas Department of Public Safety, provided the users who had taken a mandated training upon which the attribute was based. The General Services Administration, Office of Government-Wide Policy, led the implementation of the capability. They were actually the ones that the leaders, we facilitated only. They had input from the National Identity Exchange Federation, NIEF, which is a lead partner for the Global Federated Identity and Privilege Management System, which is GFIPM. Most people know it as that. The Bureau of Justice Assistance, the BJA, and the Institute for Intergovernmental Research, IIR, and the Regional Information Sharing Systems, RIS program that I mentioned to you earlier. RIS hosted the protected information resource and then relied on the attribute that IIR provisioned to the Texas DPS users in order to allow or deny access to the resource. In other words, that attribute would let the folks know automatically whether or not the user that was requesting the information had the privileges and had the right to do it. So in addition to protecting and doing responsible information sharing, it has a key for privacy and civil liberties protection in there also, because it only provides the information as required, not a conglomerate of information.
One of the things about RIS is a law enforcement network that provides what type of information to the state and local government law enforcement agencies?
It's a network information that provides for total state, local law enforcement agencies. It basically holds the databases and resources and capabilities, and then it shares information back and forth. It's a network.
The Texas Department of Public Safety was using this. They were trying to access, can you give me a sense of maybe what kinds of data? Was it law enforcement data? Was it criminal history? Was it background checks?
Right.
And what types?
Well, in this particular case, it was criminal data, okay, and it was accessing the gang database systems. They have a very good database of the criminal and gang-related tattoos, and so that information is very good for the officer, because let's say the officer stops someone and a suspect, he recognizes a tattoo that's on there, but he's not sure what it is. He's able to go back and query the system. The system is automatically able to identify the fact that he has the attributes that are required in order to gain access to the information. And in doing so, then it's able to return that information to him on the spot immediately, protects him, protects the public, and maybe puts a crook behind bars that needs to be there for the protection of the public.
And so what this back-end attribute exchange allowed them to do, as you just described, is their boss or somebody said, okay, you, police officer X, have this ability to see this type of information. And the back-end attribute exchange was able to ensure that they only had access to that information versus all information that's in the RIS network. I know I'm simplifying it.
It's even simpler than that. What's really neat, and the true beauty of this, is that with the back-end attribute exchange, all attributes don't have to reside on all computers and all networks, okay? The attribute can be maintained by a third party somewhere else, okay? So that when the request for information goes in, then the owner of the information can send out the query to say, does this person have these required attributes and only these required attributes in order to have access to this particular piece of information? That query will go out to whoever holds that attribute. Then the holder of the attribute will return it to the person who holds the information. And then at that point, the information is then returned or not returned to the requester.
And that's all done within milliseconds. I mean, this is not something where you got to send the facts and then they have to read the facts and they have to look at it and then send the facts back. I mean, this is part of why this is so important.
Yeah, it happens immediately. Whereas before, this was based upon basically paper being shuffled around and somebody having to phone in a request and then fax in the verification that they've had this particular training for privacy and civil liberties or whatever the training may be, and then getting the response back. And then it can be very cumbersome and very time consuming on it. But now the other option is that the attributes were maintained by the holder of the information. Let's say RISNet or whoever owned that information would maintain a database or a listing of those people that had the attributes. That list is out of date the second it's published. This way that the information is real-time, accurate, always.
So if Mike Kennedy is a police officer and all of a sudden you get fired or you quit, that change happens immediately versus, okay, well, I need to update my list. It's been a month, yet Mike Kennedy could still gain access to the information because he was on a list that, as you said, is old as soon as it's published.
Yes, and it's updated as fast as the agency updates the information. But the thing is, it's updated in the spot where the information is held. It doesn't have to go out to all the different owners of information. And just as important, if not even more important, let's say Mike Kennedy just finished the training yesterday, and I'm out on patrol today, and I make a stop like this, and I notice something, and I go to query the information. Under the old system, it may take a month, 2-3 months for me to gain access to that information immediately. This way, I've got it today, and it may save my life.
Let's talk about the pilot a little bit. How many people participated from the Texas Public Safety Office? How long did it last for? Give me some specifics.
We had participants from all the different agencies. So overall, dozens of folks were in participation across the board. And it was actively going on. It lasted for over a couple of days, but it was actually months in the process of making, and it was run several times, but the actual exercise itself, the actual doing itself, was just a validation of the fact that it worked in a real-world, real-use scenario that was going on.
So this was not even a beta pilot. This was almost like an alpha pilot. Can it be done, and can we do it for 3 or 4 days, and let's see what happens after we do this first step? Is that more accurate than to say it's been a full-fledged pilot?
No, I would say that it's more of the fact that it was a proof that what had been being piloted all along, okay, was ready to go operational. And so what we basically said was that in doing this is we showed or we proved that the fact that BAE is ready to go operational at this point in time. We proved that we're able to retrieve, they will pass along the information, they were able to rely upon what they got and the attributes that they got that were there. And basically, we took it from a specification to a real-world functional implementation that demonstrated its capability and readiness to go operational.
So that's great. That's even beyond just that, okay, can we do it? Yes, we can. Now let's scale it. How do you make it to the full operational?
In reality, the idea that we're looking at for the next steps of this is to scale it up in order to be able to have more users participate in it. We're signing up more user agencies and relying parties. Okay, we're dependent totally upon our partners. We tend to be more of the enablers, okay, and the folks that assist in doing this. We're the background leadership that's involved in it. GSA has been a fantastic partner on this. They've already reached out to some other organizations that have shown an interest in taking it operational and use. RIS is already standing up their own BAE implementation at this point in time in order to support their user community all the way across. There are several other agencies and departments that have expressed a very sincere interest in standing up BAE in the near-term future for their constituents and partners. And the neat thing about it is that this is not one of those situations where you have a shared service that everybody has to use it from one service provider. No. There can be multiple service providers that are out there, okay, which brings in the idea of competition and scalability that's in there. Multiple user providers can provide to their user base that's out there. But the interesting thing about it is that they're following standards and they're following the standard policies and the standards that are in place and agreement on attributes, the definitions that are out there. And so in doing it this way, all the BAE systems that are out there will be able to interoperate. And really, Jason, when it comes down to it, it's interoperability that we're talking about. If you have interoperability, you have the key to the kingdom.